Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome to the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. We're currently doing a study through the book of Galatians, and tonight we're in chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 has been an awesome chapter. I pray that if you've been listening each week, you've enjoyed it. This is your first time tuning in to the broadcast. I pray that the Lord would bless you with it tonight. If you're where you can get a Bible, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Now, what the Apostle Paul is doing in this text is he's giving different reasons why that the law cannot save. Now, the reasons why he's establishing this great truth is because that the Galatian churches were being invaded by false teachers, Judaizers, who were teaching that you were saved by faith in Christ plus by keeping the law. They added circumcision to faith. They added the different dietary laws to faith, the feast days to faith. They just added the law to faith in Christ. And salvation, of course, is by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. Now, by that, we don't mean that faith in Christ doesn't produce a change in a person's life and doesn't result in a person serving the Lord. We're not saying that. We're just saying the basis of salvation is faith in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what your salvation has to be based on. But these false teachers were adding to that, and they added circumcision. We'll see that in the book of Galatians chapter 5, which Paul taught in Galatians 1 through the Holy Spirit that is a perverted gospel. So when we come into chapter 3, he's showing the Galatians why that the law can't save. And we've noticed three reasons so far. By way of review, we'll go ahead and give you those, verses 1 through 5, because of their experience. The reason why the law can't save, number one, is because they could look at their experience. Paul had came there, and he had preached Christ crucified. And by faith in that message, they had received the Holy Spirit. And they had seen the great change the Holy Spirit had brought about, and they had seen the miracle-working power of the Spirit there in the churches. So he made the statement, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Are ye so foolish, he says in the book of Galatians 3:3. So that was his first reason why the law can't save. They could look at their experience and see that all these things come by faith, not by the adding of the law. Number two, the second reason in verses 6 through 9 is he established that Abraham was saved by faith. He used this same argument in the book of Romans chapter 4. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 15 where it says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And of course, that's the way folks are saved the same way today. We believe God's promise. We trust God's promise. He promised to save those that believe. Those that trust in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ, and then he imputes to them his righteousness. Same way, saved the same way that Abraham was. Then the third reason why that the law can't save is because of the curse of the law, and he revealed that in verses 10 through 14, showing that the law, those that teach you're saved by the law are under a curse because the law demands 100% obedience. We can't do that. We've all broken the law, therefore we're all under a curse. The greatest need we have is to be set free from that sin curse. And Jesus came and he was cursed for us on the cross. And when we receive Christ, we're set free from the curse. So those are the three arguments because of their experience the law can't save. Because Abraham was saved by faith. And number three, because of the curse of the law. Now tonight we're going to enter into the fourth reason why that the law can't save, and that's in verses 15 through 18, and we're going to title that because of the covenant with Abraham. Now what he's going to do in this section is he's going to establish that the covenant was made with Abraham, was given to Abraham by promise, and he accepted the covenant by faith. And the law, which came 430 years later, during the days of Moses, the law which came 430 years later on Mount Sinai, did not change the promise that God gave earlier to Abraham. Now, you can see that false teachers may have argued against Paul whenever he used Abraham as an example of one that was saved by faith earlier in the book of Galatians. You can see how they might argue that, well, Abraham began by faith. Abraham was saved by faith, but God gave the law later. God later added the law in the book of Exodus 20. Now what we need to do, just like they were doing in Galatians, they say, well, the Galatians have faith in God or faith in Christ, but we also need to add the law, just like God did in the book of Exodus. Well, you can see how they might have tried to argue that way. So what's going to happen here in this particular text is he's going to counter that argument. And he's going to counter the argument really by making three main points. He's going to show that a confirmed will cannot be changed. He's going to liken that to Abraham's covenant, or the covenant that God made with Abraham was confirmed by God. Therefore, it cannot be added to or changed. Secondly, he's going to establish that the covenant made with Abraham not only was before the law, but it was after the law, because it was not only made with Abraham, it was also made with Christ. And it goes all the way down to the Messiah. And my friend, it's still in effect. It was in effect before the law, it was in effect after the law, and it's still in effect today. God saves by faith in His promise. And then number three, the third argument He's going to use against the idea that perhaps we need to add the law to faith, the third argument against that is that the salvation either is by promise or it's by the law. Can't be by both. And we've already mentioned this, and we described it in another way. Salvation either is by grace or it's by works. It can't be both. And that's a great argument, because there's many folks that add, like the Pharisees were doing, like the Judaizers were doing, there's many that add works to faith, and they make faith and works equal salvation. Faith plus Christ equals salvation. Now, the result of that will be works, but that's not the cause of the salvation. It's very important that you do that. If you add your works to Christ, then that's a perverted gospel. Your salvation has to be totally based on Christ. Now, we do works. We love the Lord, and He wrote His laws on our heart the day that He saved us, and we have a desire in our heart to serve Him, and we serve Him because we love Him, but that's not the basis of our salvation. The basis of our salvation must be the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. His works is what saves us, not ours. All right, now let's go ahead and get into these three arguments that he gives in verses 10 through 18. Argument number one, remember, a confirmed will cannot be changed. You can understand as the Pharisees, or I should say the Judaizers here, would say, hey, the law came after Genesis 15 when it said Abraham was saved by faith. At the very least, we need to add the law as God did to these Gentiles so that they can be completely saved. Well, Paul's argument against such a statement as that, his first argument, is given in verse 14. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, which means he's going to use a human illustration, an illustration from our day-to-day lives. And here's what it reads. Let me read the verse. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant or testament, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or addeth thereunto. So he uses just a human illustration. And he establishes the fact that whenever there is a covenant between men, when it's been validated, when it's been ratified, nobody goes in and adds to it, or no third party can come in and add to it. For instance, just to use an illustration, for instance, a will. Whenever a man has a last will and testament, and it's been validated, and it's been ratified, all these different things, and then later on, the man dies, and then his will is brought out and read, and there is a validation that that will was done by that particular man. No one can add to it, and no one can change it. Well, not only in a last will and testament, sometimes in union contracts, a company in a union will step down, and they will come to an agreement, and then the men will vote on this particular contract, and once it is validated, you have to live with that contract for the life of it, because you can't add to it, nor can you change it. Now, it's just using human illustration. Well, God gave a covenant to Abraham. And He gave the covenant in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. Genesis 17, He mentioned it in several occasions, and He confirmed it with not only Abraham, but Isaac, and then, of course, Jacob. And what was the covenant He made? He would make of Abraham a great nation. And through him, all nations would be blessed. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham, and also He made the covenant that He would give him the land of Canaan. This was all part of the promise that God made with Abraham. He gave it to Abraham by promise. And then it says that Abraham believed God. He believed the promise to God, and then it was imputed to him for righteousness. Then God ratified the covenant. And when He did that, you can read the book of Genesis chapter 15. Well, Abraham was asleep. He caused a great sleep to come upon Abraham. And then He used an ancient custom that Abraham in his day, that the people did use. He made two rows of sacrificed animals. And then what would happen, let me explain a little bit about how they, whenever they would make it, two men would make a covenant. They would make two rows. They would set up two rows of sacrificed animals, which is what God told Abraham to do. Then what would happen is the two men that made the covenant would then walk through the midst of these animals. And then it would serve as a confirmation, a validation of the covenant between the two. Well, what happened in this particular text in Genesis 15, God made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham received it by faith. He told him to set up these two lines of sacrificed animals. Then while he was asleep, God went through the midst. He said a flaming fire went through the midst of it, which represented God. And God was confirming the covenant by using this tradition of men. And He ratified it. He confirmed it, just like one would a testament. Well, that's his argument here in Galatians chapter 3. A confirmed covenant cannot be later on added to or changed. So this covenant that God made with Abraham, that He would make a great nation, that through him all nations would be blessed, this covenant was not changed 430 years later by the law. If men's covenants that have been confirmed cannot be added to or changed, how much more can a covenant made by God not be added to or changed? So that was his first argument. When they came in, were adding the law, he said, you can't add the law. This covenant God made has been confirmed by God. It can't be disannulled, nor can it be added to. Boy, that's still the problem today, isn't it? God gives us a promise, and He's promised to save those that believe and trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He promises to save those that trust in the gospel. Then what happens? Men then come in and add other things to that message. Let me read now the verse that goes with verse 15. Verse 17 says, I say then that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, the law came 430 years later, cannot disannul it or make the promise of non-effect. In other words, once a covenant is established, and once it's been confirmed between two parties, then man later can't come in and change it. Well, God made the covenant, and you'll notice it wasn't Abraham and God that went through the midst of that, those two rows of sacrificed animals. It was only God, meaning Abraham never had anything to do with it. It was going to come to pass. It was a covenant that was made by God. And it was not based on the works of Abraham. It was based on the faith of Abraham in the works of God. And of course, that's the way salvation indeed is today. So that's his first argument. That's his very first argument. The law did that came later after the covenant was made in Genesis 15. The law came 430 years later. That wasn't an addition to the covenant. The covenant was already confirmed, just like a last will and testament. Well, let's look at argument number two. Let's look at argument number two, and it's given in verse 16. It says, "Now to Abraham and his seed." And he uses this word seed here. Sometimes as you look back in the book of Genesis, it's used in reference to a seed being a multitude of people. But here in this text, Paul is using the word seed in the singular. And let me go ahead and read the verse. "Now to Abraham and his seed," it's singular, "were the promises made. He said, not and the seeds," which is plural, "as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Argument number two, the covenant with Abraham was made with Abraham and to Abraham's seed, which is Christ. So what does that mean? Well, Christ is the Messiah. Another name for the Messiah is Christ. And of course, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah still yet today. Now, God made the covenant with Abraham and with his seed, which was Christ. What does that tell you? Well, not only was the covenant that he made with Abraham in effect before the law, but the covenant that he made with Abraham was also in effect after the law because it went down to the Messiah. You see what he's saying? Before the law, it was in effect. God ratified it. Brought it into effect before the law. He was going to make a great nation out of Abraham. Through him, all nations would be blessed, which is talking about the salvation that would come through the Messiah. Abraham believed it. He trusted in it. He trusted in the promises of God. He was saved based on faith. Well, the law that came later didn't change that, nor did it add to it. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament laws were foreshadows of Christ. And as you get on down in the book of Galatians chapter 3, he's going to explain the purpose of the law. But right now he's explaining that the law didn't change the covenant that God made with Abraham. It was a covenant based on faith. It was a covenant based on the promise of God. And that's the same way salvation is today. So the covenant was made before with Abraham, and then after Abraham, it was still in effect because it was also made with the Messiah. You see, through the Messiah, all nations are blessed. Through the Messiah came, because of the Messiah, he went to the cross and he died for the sins of his people. God so loved the world, he says in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever trusts in him shall not perish. It uses the term world. That means Gentile as well as Jew. All nations will be blessed. Now, they'll be blessed because those that receive Christ receive the blessing of Abraham. We mentioned that earlier in the text. It's mentioned earlier in the text. It says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, know you they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Who are the children of Abraham today? They which are of faith. Verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So the blessing of the covenant made with Abraham, it was confirmed before the law. Since it goes down to the Messiah, it was in effect after the law. And it finds its fulfillment, this great covenant with Abraham, finds its fulfillment in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're in the Messiah, how do you get in the Messiah? Well, you get in the Messiah through faith. Just like Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. We also believe in God's promise. God's promises to save those that receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And when you receive Him, the blessing of Abraham comes upon you. You're considered Abraham's seed. It says, verse 29 of Galatians 3, "If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed." If you be Christ, then you're considered a child of Abraham. So we're part of that great nation that he was talking about in the book of Genesis. The true Jew, according to the book of Romans chapter 2, are those that be of faith, whether they have Gentile birth or Jewish birth. All those that be of faith are part of that great nation. He had told Abraham to count the stars, so shall thy seed be. Well, you can't count the stars. They are a multitude. You can't number them. Well, Abraham's descendants, Abraham's seed, which would come through Christ. See, when you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're part of that nation. And you can see how all nations are blessed because of Abraham. Through Abraham came the Messiah. Through the Messiah's sacrificial death and resurrection comes salvation to those who believe the promise that God gave. So this was in effect, this covenant was in effect before the law. You know, salvation has always been by faith. It was by faith before the law, it was by faith during the law, and it was by faith after the law. It's always been salvation by faith. And this is just another argument for that. Covenant was in effect before and after. It's always been salvation by faith, folks. The Old Testament sacrifice system pointed to a Messiah that was coming. They shed the blood of different animals. They shed the blood of lambs and of bulls and of goats. And these things couldn't take away their sin, but they did indeed point forward to one that was going to come and be sacrificed. It's the reason why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. So argument number one is what? For salvation not coming through the law, argument number one is what? You can't change a confirmed covenant. God confirmed the covenant in the book of Genesis 15. That was 430 years afterwards. Well, what was argument number two? Argument number two was what? Well, the covenant was not only was made with Abraham, verse 16, it was also made with the Messiah. So the Messiah came after the law. Well, since the Messiah came after the law, it was still in effect after the law was given. The law changed nothing. The law changed absolutely nothing. It has nothing to do with salvation. The purpose of it, as we're going to see next week, was to reveal to you that you was a sinner in need of the Messiah. That would be the purpose of the law. It was never intended to be a way of salvation, nor is it intended to be a way of salvation today. People all the time talk about back in the Old Testament when they were saved by the law. Folks, they couldn't no more be saved by the law than you can, or than we can. Law demands 100% obedience to be saved by it. We've all broke it. The purpose of the law is to reveal to you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. The Savior is Christ. Now, argument number three that he gives in this particular section, he's showing that by adding the law, though the law came after this text given in Genesis 15, that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, though the law was given 430 years later, it didn't change it. It didn't change the covenant because it was in effect before and after the law was given. Now, argument number three is given in verse 18, and this will be the last part of this section that we'll look at tonight. Argument number three is for the inheritance. Now, the inheritance here is talking about salvation. When you receive Christ, you receive an inheritance in God's kingdom. It's an inheritance that is reserved in the book of First Peter. We have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. We receive that inheritance. We become part of His great nation, part of His great kingdom, by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the part of the covenant was that He gave to Abraham. Through you all nations will be blessed, because through you comes the Messiah, and through the Messiah comes salvation and an inheritance in His kingdom. It says, if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. Again, he's telling them, if you add the law to faith, then it's not salvation by promise. And if it's not salvation by promise, then it's not salvation at all. And this is the great problem. Salvation is either by grace through faith, or salvation is by works. It can't be by both, and that's what it says in verse 18. If the inheritance be of the law, then it's no more a promise, because God gave it to Abraham by promise. It wasn't by the works of the law that Abraham received the promise that through him all nations would be blessed. Abraham received the promise by faith. And then God imputed to him righteousness by faith. Well, God has promised to save, and I've been said this many times in the broadcast, I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, but God has promised to save those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise. And how you receive the promise is by faith. You trust it. You know how I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because the Bible promises to save those that believe. Romans 10:9 says that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Scriptures also says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe God keeps his promises. Well, just like Abraham, God has given us a promise, and I believe God. And when you believe God, it's imputed to you for righteousness. Now, you can't mix that. You say, well, Jeff, you got to have good works. Well, you will have good works. I think faith in Christ produces, you have a new birth at salvation. You have the Holy Spirit in you at salvation. Book of Hebrews says that He writes His laws on your heart. And this will produce an outward change in your conduct. An inward change produces an outward change. But that is the fruit of your salvation. The cause is faith in Christ, period. And the reason why it is that way is because it gives God all the glory. It gives Christ all the glory. If it was Jesus plus your works, you would have a right to brag. But salvation by grace excludes all boasting on man's part and puts all boasting in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way that it's always been. All the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way down to the day, God saves by faith in the promise. Now, my friend, what I'm asking you to do tonight, I'm asking you to trust the promise. I'm asking you to receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And when you receive Him and you trust in Him, the works that He did, and my friend, you become a child of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:7. You become Abraham's seed, according to Galatians 3:29. And you become a part of His great nation. And you have an inheritance in His kingdom. And folks, there's nothing greater than that. I think it's been a tremendous text of Scripture that we looked at tonight. Paul showed why that the law that came after the covenant given to Abraham in Genesis 15, he showed why that it didn't change it. It didn't change it because it was confirmed by God. It didn't change it because it was in effect all the way down to the Messiah. It was in effect before, and it was in effect after. And besides that, it either has to be by faith in the promise, and if you add the law, then it's not by faith anymore. I pray tonight you see the teaching of this great text, and listen in again next week to Good Hope Through Grace as we look at the purpose then of the law. Thank you for listening.